You are now tuned into the United Pulse podcast.
Hey, yo, what it do, baby? Back again with another episode of the United Pulse podcast. I am your host, anime enthusiast and crypto guru Snacks, joined as always by one of my co-hosts, Mr. Oracle Eames himself.
What is good, Snacks? I'm really excited for this one. Let's go.
No, you're not allowed to be excited for this one.
Me specifically, I am, because what did I say in the group chat?
I don't remember. I wasn't reading, to be honest.
I said, but this is going to be a new Eames. A new Eames that we've never seen before.
These new Eames usually last like a week and then it goes back. But as you could tell, Colin is not with us today. I'll share at the end a pretty special thing that we're working on. But let's move on. Big news. Manchester United have confirmed their first transfer. And it's a big one. And it's like very relatively early in the window. This is very like, if you were to like categorize this signing, it does not tick any of the boxes for Manchester United in terms of how we recruit and how we do our signings and when we announce them and all that stuff. So if you've been living under a rock, you probably haven't heard, but Manchester United, after a year, actually, well, I'll just round up, 2 years of recruitment and scouting and analysting and whatnot.
Say it.
We have finally confirmed the signing of Borussia Dortmund right/left winger Jadon Sancho.
And goalkeeper Tom Heaton. It is an incredible day. I had to go for it. Listen, it's been, look, we've had a lot of transfer sagas. We're Manchester United fans. We've been United fans for a minute. I mean, you said something in the group chat the other day, which was mad funny. What was it? You were like, Colin mentioned this is the worst transfer saga. I said, nah, I think Schneider was worse. And then what did you say?
I was like, I don't even think Sancho exists. It's like Nico Gaishan.
Yeah. So we've had this. You know, we've had our fair share of just like what's going on with
Sancho. But it's ass, bro. It sucks.
But you made a good point, though. You just barely flopped over it. But you were like, this is not kind of usually how we announce signings, which is true. I think I really stopped when I saw that announcement, because the announcement was just like, oh, we've agreed to terms.
In principle and to sign Jadon Sancho.
Pending the medical and the blah, 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 blah. And I think the only time we've ever done anything similar to this was like when we signed like kind of Diallo. It was a little bit similar because it was like, oh, pending work permit. And Bailly too is like pending work permit. But it was still more announcey than this was. And I think they just kind of wanted to get the word out the door. I think they noticed that, like, all right, it's leaked. It's more or less officially leaked.
Bro, they needed it.
They needed it.
So let's just break down how this played out. Obviously, Jadon Sancho's at the Euros, has not touched the pitch for a long time. He's just there for banter purposes.
He did play, no? He got subbed on.
Yeah, but like, it is like, whatever.
A handful of minutes.
Yesterday, so Fabrizio Romano has been the guy, like the most reliable, like whether you rate him or not, he's the most reliable reporter in world football right now. No one can touch him. And he gave us the here we go for Jadon Sancho. He's been on like podcast or platform or whatever you want to discuss that are Manchester United focused. And he's pretty much reiterated that we've been interested. It's just the money.
It was getting frustrating.
Bro, why do you think I said what I said in the group chat? Like, I was done with it. I'm just like,
yeah,
you're going to get him or you're not.
Like, there was one day where he tweeted, like, it was like a Monday, and he tweeted, the deal is so close. It's never been this close before. And then the next day, this brother literally retweets his own, it's so close. It was driving me nuts. But I don't, bun the talk about how it happened. Let's talk about what he actually means to this team. Because I think if I'm being fair, Colin is the most diehard Sancho. You're pretty close to him, and I was more or less like, give me Sancho alternatives.
No, you didn't like him. We're not sure. You didn't like him.
Yeah, I said, give me Sancho alternatives. That was my agenda, more or less. But, I mean, you're the closest we can get. Colin's not obviously on the pod right now. How excited are you? Like, what do you think he actually means to the team in terms of, give me like footballing terms.
Okay, I mean, if I'm being completely, I'm very happy and excited that this deal is finally confirmed. Not for the fact that the deal and the rumors and stuff surrounding it can finally end. It's more that it's, you know this, Eames, and Colin knows this as well. Like, we are awful at replacing players we get rid of or who leave us for whatever reason. We're just terrible at it.
Yeah.
So, like, for us to have finally gotten a proper-ass right winger, because that's where I assume he's going to play, a proper-ass right winger for the first time in what, like, since Di Maria.
Di Maria, right, yeah.
Since Di Maria.
That was 2014?
2014, and he only stayed with us for a year. So it's been 6 years since we've had a proper right winger.
Yeah.
And I'm, in terms of football, like, I think this just, this literally just opens up for what Ollie wants to do. Like, people look at, you know, how we play, and let's be honest, like, to us, we like it, but, like, amongst the neutrals and rival supporters, they don't think we play a good brand of football. And so Sancho bring, I would argue it's because that we don't, like, Ollie just doesn't have his team, you know what I mean? He's been having to, you know, have makeshift right wingers on the side. So now that we have a right winger, to be honest, as things stand right now, like, no other confirmed deals, F all the rumors, assuming no one else signs anybody, Manchester United have to be the favorites of the title.
Oh, yeah. Assuming everything stays as...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if Man City tomorrow, or, you know, the day that this comes out...
This is July 1st.
Sign Harry Kane and Jack Grealish, it could be a different story.
Sure.
But as it stands right now, at time of recording, July 1st, 5:53 p.m., Manchester United are favorites to win the title. He's the missing key. Like, you know how we used to talk about, oh, we just need a center defensive mid partner to unlock Pogba? Like... Basically, Sancho is like, all right, this is the final piece of the puzzle. Like, we have our front four now. Like, we know who's going to start. We all know they're insanely good. Boom. Yeah. Like, we got it. And, like, the thing that, like, Mazzala, he actually posted a story, and it was Rashford, like, welcoming Sancho. I don't know if he's out. He's like, finally, like welcome. He posted that tweet on his Instagram story and said, it's really, like, bold for Rashford to say that, considering Sancho's going to steal a spot.
Ooh.
And the way I took it was like, well, it doesn't really matter which side they start on because it's fluid. Football's fluid. They're going to be switching every now and again. You know what I mean? So, but I think, yeah, man, like, this is an elite footballer. He's young too. Like, if Mbappe is like your metric for like best young players in the world, Sancho has to be like number two right behind him.
How old is Sancho?
Sancho's 21. And Mbappe's 21 too, I think.
I got you. Okay.
I mean, but I'm more interested to hear what you have to say, because if you've been listening to the United Pulse podcast for a while, or if you haven't, Eames was not a fan of this signing. And, well, not now he is, but like when the rumors were going around, he was not happy with the rumors. I'll let him explain himself, and I will remind you all, he said he would have rather had a Yosi Perez instead of Jadon Sancho.
I will remind you, the Snacks likes to make up fake stuff. So
that's not true.
Listen,
it's a fact.
I said last summer, listen, this guy's not worth 120. I don't care what anyone tries to tell me. He's just not worth 120. And last summer I said 70. 70 is a good number. I'll take 70. I'll go to 70, which is what we signed him for. I think we got him for very good value.
Say 70 million the currency
pounds.
Too.
Pounds, sorry. Yeah. I'm always going to be, always assume I'm speaking in pounds. I think it's 72 in pounds, roughly, give or take. I think that's good value. I think in terms of cost, of how much he's costing us, very, very good value. I'm excited. I've been digging into YouTube highlights. One exercise that I like to do when I'm looking at YouTube highlights is. What do you mean? I'm keeping it honest, bro.
Okay, yeah, I know.
One thing that I like to do, this is a little tip for you guys who digest a lot of YouTube highlights. Pointer is, don't go look at Jadon Sancho highlights. Pick out specific games that you're interested in, and literally, if you go onto YouTube and you just type in Jadon Sancho versus Barcelona, there's someone who's uploaded 3 minutes of just Jadon Sancho versus Barcelona. So I've done that. I went in, Barcelona, Sevilla, Tottenham... a couple of other games here and there. I think I have a good idea of what type of player he is at this point. I've seen him only play live maybe twice max. I tried to catch him this past season, but he was really injured for most of the games that I tried tuning in for. I've seen a lot of Haaland. I don't want to say unfortunately, but you get the point. And I think what he brings, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit in terms of like we just haven't had a right winger in half a decade. We haven't had a right winger. I complained all last season of just like, I mean, you're joking about the Ayoze Perez thing, but like, we needed a right winger. I just wanted anybody last summer. Ayoze Perez included. I needed somebody to come in and play right wing. I think out of the three of us on this podcast, I'm the biggest Dan James hater. I think another season of seeing Dan James get as many minutes as he did playing right wing, just it wouldn't have been able to sit right with me. You would have had to flip in, figure me out, because I would have lost my mind. So to have someone that's actually class, elite, come in there, play on the right wing. I'm hoping that he's able to translate what he's been able to show in Bundesliga. I think, you know, I'm not going to expect that many goals and that many assists. But the things that I like the most is, one, how he actually runs with the ball and how, like, pacey he is, for lack of, like, a better, you know, elaborate description. But I mentioned this in the group chat. You look at the way Rashford runs with the ball. Sometimes he just runs out of bounds. You've seen this. I'm not making this up. You've seen the way Martial runs with the ball. Sometimes he'll just run into people, like literally run into human beings. Jadon Sancho has a certain level of skill, guile, really just balance and elegance about him, that when he's running with the ball, he's effective. He's going for something. And I really want to see that into the squad. I think another thing that we should factor into, the way we're talking about the fact that we're favorites for the league title, as things stand right now, that includes another season of Cavani where he actually comes in with a preseason, where he comes in healthy, understanding the team, understanding his teammates. That's going to be huge because he's going to have a guy on the right wing now that's going to be feeding him all the way through. So I'm excited, man, and I hope he gets a cool number. We joked about that a little bit. You know, I don't think any of us want to see him in some weird shit. I'm curious to see what that means.
It's going
to
be seven, bro. Like, it's, I'm sorry, it's going to.
I don't
be
know.
Seven.
I just feel like it's not. I mean, I'm not going to be mad if it is. I just
nah,
don't.
You
think
said
it
yesterday
will.
You'd be irate because Cavani has all this clout and all this stuff.
He does.
I mean, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But
so what's our best starting lineup then?
As it stands now, we gotta preface with that. Dean Henderson in net. Back four is standard stuff. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, yeah. Maguire, Shaw, yeah. McFred, pivot.
Yeah.
Bruno 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's the strongest 11, except take Mason Greenwood out and put Sancho right wing. Cavani up top, Rashford left, Bruno 10, and then Sancho right wing.
And you agree, I mean, I don't know if you do, but do you agree that Mason Greenwood would be the next up on the pecking order for the front three?
Yes.
Regardless of what position. I'm saying, like, regardless of what position. Like, regardless if it's Sancho sitting, Rashford sitting, or Cavani
sitting.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I would assume so. Who else is there, you know? Like, give me another name that could rival him.
Pogba goes into left wing?
Nah.
Okay.
Like, it's... Nah. Okay. Not making this the Pogba show, bro. This is the Sancho show.
No, it is.
Okay. Do you have any concerns with Jadon Sancho's game from your extensive research?
Yeah. I mean, listen. The Premier League's a whole nother beast. We saw it just this past season. Timo Werner, he had an incredible story where he talked about, you know, he just wasn't ready, especially for that, you know, that Boxing Day, New Year's period where there's quite literally a game every 3 days. I am worried about that. I'm genuinely worried that he's not going to be able to keep up with the pace, the physicality. I think some of those defenders and players in general in the Bundesliga are bums. I think really they wouldn't survive on like, they wouldn't. Let's be honest. They wouldn't survive on a West Brom, a Crystal Palace, even like a Brighton to an extent, right? So I'm worried about that. He's going to be playing against better players. That's just a fact. Are you concerned that he hasn't gotten that many minutes in the Euros? Is that, like, I know we I don't want to make this into, like, shit on Gareth Southgate, but, like, are you worried? Like, he can't play his way into not even the starting lineup, but, like, the first guy off the bench?
No, not really. I think it's, like regardless of what you, like, you know the logic I use for when I'm trying to rate a player based off of their numbers? Because, like, Sancho's just, like, a highlight reel number guy, right? Like, that's his... He's the quintessential, I'm going to get you stats and stuff. I think that's how he, like, made prominence and how he got valued to be so much and why there's such a long transfer saga, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and I'm like, this guy, regardless of the league, like, when you're putting up 20 assists and 20 goals or whatever the numbers are broken down in league numbers, it's usually like 15 and 15 for Sancho. I wouldn't say alien because we've seen, you know, Bruno come in and do that in the Premier League, but that's world-class stats. So like you could argue or you can make the statement that Bundesliga is trash. Arguably, to me, and I think it shouldn't be an argument for everybody else, I think it's the weakest out of Europe's top five leagues. And that's just because they play less league games. So I have a concern there, but I'm not really concerned about the whole Euro thing, because for me, it's more like, all right, well, he's fit because he's training and he's doing that and he's working himself up to that point of match fitness, but he's not actually playing, which means there's no risk of him getting hurt. There's a risk of him getting hurt in training if Kyle Walker decides to slide tackle him, but like in terms of like that in-game pressure, because one thing I brought up in the group chat the other day is like, we're always complaining about Bruno playing in those big games against, or those crappy games against Brighton in the Carabao Cup. Like, yeah. You don't need Bruno to play in that game. So for me, like, I'm looking at it, I don't really care about England winning the Euros. So it's like, if Sancho isn't, like, Rashford's not playing either. You know what I mean? Am I concerned about that? Like, not really.
I guess. I mean, Rashford, we know, though, is playing injured, and he's at the Euros injured. I guess the only flip side that I would say to your comment is, if Jadon Sancho was playing for the Euros, he was starting and he was banging in numbers, wouldn't you be hella excited and hyped?
Yeah, sure, but like,
so don't you think you're kind of making it convenient for yourself?
Well, I mean, like wind the clock back a little bit further. He had a terrible season, quote unquote, and he still finished with like 8 goals and 11 assists in the league, and he made like 66% of the appearances he could have made. Not all of them were starts, too. Plus, like, the whole, like, people haven't been talking about it much, but, like, once the deal comes through, we're probably going to get a lot of, like, the fishy, like, the in-depth details of, like, what Sancho was going through this experience. And I'm sure it's going to come to a point where he'll say, like, yeah, like, when the transfer didn't come through in summer 2020, I was very upset, and I wasn't really feeling myself, and that's why I was put on the bench. I feel like we're going to hear a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not really concerned with the Euro talk, because, like, you look at it and, like, Luke Shaw didn't play that first game. He played a right back. Like, I just don't rate Gareth Southgate. So it's like, that's why I'm like, looking at him like, eh, you know what? Like, it's not that big of a deal. But I would, to answer your question, I would feel a lot better if he was balling at the Euro, just because I would be like, all right, like, this investment is worth every penny, whereas now there's still that kind of question marks around it.
Yeah. And I agree. Again, I said this, I didn't want to make this like a Gareth Southgate thing or a Euro thing. You know me, I don't really mess with the Euros like that. But I just think kind of a little part of me is kind of disappointed, right? He's not getting more minutes there. I would love to have seen him. I think it would have helped my morale personally get excited about this guy. What do you think give me his ceiling and his floor in his first season, not in his United career. So he joins next season. Give me, like, statistically, but also, like, kind of player-wise, who would you compare him to in terms of how good do you think he's going to be? Ceiling and floor.
Okay. I mean, I hope I'm not wiling out here, but I truly believe he has potential to be, one of the best players in the Premier League. Like, if not... Off the rip. I think he just has too much talent to not... And, like, luckily, like, he's coming into a squad. Like, maybe it would have been a little bit harder last summer, but, like, this summer, like, he's coming into a team that, you know, has, like, their ish together. Like, Cavani got a full season under his belt. He's going to score goals. You know, Rashford hopefully will be a much more fit. You know what I mean? Bruno is now resting after losing in the Euros. Like, he's going to come back in better shape. So, like, I'm looking at that. And
even Ollie is 1 year smarter.
Yeah. I think he maxes out at, like, no more than, like, 8 Premier League goals and 10 Premier League assists in his first year. 18 goal contributions in 38 games is not terrible. I think it's more like that whole KDB effect, where like KDB has similar numbers, but KDB also just looks super pretty doing it. And I think that's what Sancho, like, what his game is. Like, he just makes things look a lot nicer and he gets those numbers.
All right. If you had to put a percentage on it, this is where I need you to be honest with me, okay? If you had to put a percentage on it, what percent likely, and let me finish the question, what percent likely do you think we get like a Salah season from him? Like when Salah first joined Liverpool, his first year.
Like record-breaking stuff?
Yeah, like it was just, remember when his first year he joined, it was just fucking like goals every 3 seconds. Yeah, he broke
the Premier League record for goals in 38-game season.
What percentage likelihood do you think we get that? And then what percentage likelihood this is like the same question, do you think we get the equivalent of like Raheem Sterling's past season, which was like... meh, you know, like They won the league, but no, I don't think Raheem
Sterling
calls that.
Wasn't. I mean, Raheem Sterling saw 10 goals and 6 assists in the league.
Okay, scratch Raheem Sterling. We get Martial's past season.
Oh boy.
Give me the percent. How likely, like on the scale?
If I'm being honest, I mean, maybe this is just gas because the signing has just been confirmed today by Manchester United.
That's why I'm asking the question.
I think there's it's more likely that he has the Salah season than the Martial season.
Percentage?
Percentage wise, I think there's like a. Maybe I'm lying to myself when I say this. Again, I'm very excited we have this deal in. I'm saying there's like a 5% chance of the Martial season.
Ooh, okay.
Respect. And then for the Salah season, I would say there's like a 30 to 40% chance.
Okay. That's pretty good. Yeah. I like that. That's encouraging to me.
Like I said, like that's why I prefaced it with maybe I'm just excited. I don't see how this guy comes in unless he gets injured or is like an immediate locker room problem where he doesn't succeed.
Yeah.
We like to play counterattacking football. He's one of the best counterattacking players in the world. Yeah. Like, it's just a match made... Excuse me, in heaven. So, I mean, what about you? What do you think? I mean, I feel like you might have a higher Martial season and a lower Salah season, percentage wise.
Kind of. I don't think he'll be as bad as like what we saw from Martial. I genuinely think that's like get him out of my club bad. So I will say maybe like 10%. You said 5. I'll say 10%. And in terms of Salah, you said what? You said 35 to 40?
Yeah.
I would say probably like 30. I still think it's pretty high.
You're a hater, bro. You're a hater.
I would go 30. I think the likelihood, though, is the first thing you said, which was he'll probably get like 8 goals, 10 assists. I think he'll start off the season really hot. That's my expectation. I think he'll start on the right wing. I think he'll get like his debut goal, debut assists, probably within at least the first 3 games. I can't see it being longer than that. I think by the time we get though to like that November, December period, he probably picks up like a knock or something here and there. And I think by the time we get to January, you start to see a big, big drop off. I think that's the likelihood of what happens his first year.
It'll be interesting to see what happens for him because he... Like I said, like he's coming off a season that was, again, quote unquote, terrible. But like when people say that, they're saying it by what they expect out of Jadon Sancho.
Sure. Not
out
high of standards.
Yeah, like not what they expect out of just your average footballer.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like just from seeing what I've seen, like it's not, he's not like, because Colin has made this argument, and this is why he will say KDB is better than Bruno, is that when Bruno's not scoring or assisting, he's not really useful. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. But, like, if you look at Jadon Sancho, like, yes, of course, he's known for the goals and assists. That's how he's made his career. But he's still really good when he's not involved, like, directly involved in the goal. Like,
sure.
He's great at setting up the play. And, like, man, how many times have we heard of the past, like, what, 2 seasons breaking down a low block and all that stuff? Mm. Like, he's the guy that helps you get there. And whether or not he's putting the finishing touch on the pass or scoring the goal himself is kind of irrelevant, because if you can at least help us there, considering we waited a year and saved like what, £50 million or something like that,
yeah.
Then I think you're getting your money's worth out of them. For 70 mil, like you look at some of the players that have gone, like Lacazette was 60 million. Nice. Aubameyang was 60 million, and those guys, yes, are like not that good, and we paid 10 more for Sancho, so like I'm excited. I think And one thing I'm not worried about, the whole transition thing from Bundesliga, is because he is English. So, like, yeah. I expect in England training, he's getting, like...
And he's from Manchester.
Yeah, he was a City Academy kid.
Yeah, so, like, that's huge for me. You know me, I'm always talking about new league, new country, new language. That's huge for me, the fact that he comes in and he's in his own neighborhood, right? Like,
there's no adjustment period, yeah, learning how to speak, like, none of that stuff. He'll come in and he'll know exactly what...
And he'll know what it means too, like the club, the.
Well, I mean, if you read Fabrizio's reports, every time at the bottom before he signs off the tweet is, Jadon Sancho only wants Manchester United. At least recently, it was that.
Yeah.
Before it was like personal terms agreed, but like he's on, like if we're to believe Fabrizio at his word, Sancho only wanted to come to us. So all those rumors with Liverpool and Chelsea and blah, like. That speaks very highly of, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because, for example, like, you brought up Timo Werner. Timo Werner, like, it's no, he wanted to go to Liverpool. Like, he didn't, like, he wanted to leave Leipzig so bad that he was willing to take a gamble at someone else, but Liverpool was his goal. I think if he goes to Liverpool, I think he's a much better player than he is now at Chelsea. And I don't think that's, like, a hot take. So that, like, it's small, it's minute, but, like, that detail of, like, I'm playing for the club I want to play for is a big, like, you know, like, it's a big feel-good factor that he brings to the table.
Especially us, we've had a history of signing guys that didn't really, like Alexis Sanchez.
Alexis Sanchez didn't bang with us. Di Maria didn't bang with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, now it's like all these identifying the right guys. Like, he's like, listen, the first and foremost thing is, I don't care how good you are, but we're interested in you. Do you want to play for Manchester United? And by that, I mean, not to earn a sick wage, but to play for the badge. Yeah. So you got to credit him there. I think we're really going to see a lot more from Ollie this year. I think that's what's going under the radar. Not a lot of people are talking about that, but, like, we've seen managers improve when they get better quality players. Perfect example is Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp was not a good manager when he took over Liverpool. Like, you could argue he was a good manager in the stature of managers, but, like, he came into Liverpool and we were all like, this is it. Like, this is what we're expecting. I thought Jurgen Klopp was really good. And then
He did win the league with Dortmund.
Yeah, but, like, Bundesliga, like didn't you expect more when Jurgen Klopp signed with Liverpool?
After his first, like, season and a half, yeah.
Yeah, I expected more. Then he got Sadio Mane, and then his team made a bit of a jump, and then he got Salah. And then
he got Salah, and then they just...
And then it was the rest of history, you know what I mean? Yeah. Pep Guardiola is famous for saying, I need good players to win, which, like, what manager wouldn't want to have good players, you know what I mean?
Yeah, facts.
So I think Ollie's going to really improve from this. I think it's just like a big morale boost for everybody. I think, like, he's friends with a lot of players in the squad, and I think, like, he's going to get along well with them, and it's going to be good, man. I'm very excited to see what Sancho brings to the table.
All right, you want to take us home?
Yeah. Well, we originally had something different planned for today, but the Sancho news kind of took over from that. But we want to get... This is kind of like a special announcement to all United Pulse listeners, because we want to get a... how do I word this? We want to get more of our community involved. The next time that all three of us are on the show, Colin, Eames, and Snacks, we're going to be doing like a top 40 Premier League players thing. Yes. And we want to hear from you. So at some point, Colin will send a tweet out from the UP account. And we want to see your top 40 list of Premier League players. I think all of ours are going to be pretty different. I think me and you will be kind of similar, Eames, but for the most part, we're going to be pretty different.
I think the first 10 will probably be pretty similar, but 10 to 30, I think will be very different.
So catch us, watch out for that. And we'll, like, you know, we'll mark it around that to let you know exactly when that episode's coming out, because the Euros are still going on. And who knows, we might be sending other players in the summer too. So that in mind, you can catch me on Twitter at SnackMite. You can catch Eames at The Faux Brit, and you can catch Colin at El Chico Uno. And you can find the United Pulse Pod on Twitter at United Pulse Pod. Let us know what you think of the Sancho signing, how you expect him to do, all that good stuff.
Peace.
Peace. Oh, look at that. That's a big drink, baby.